Well, hello, 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 my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong, unafraid, taking on hell with a water pistol in the name of King Jesus. Guys, welcome to The Pulse. Guys, this is episode number 128, and I am going to be, I'm going to be here today both with my good friend Rebecca Tamayo. I'm also going to be here with one of my favorite pastors on the planet Earth, and he's going to be sharing I'll introduce him correctly here in just a minute, all right? But first and foremost, before I do anything else, let me just say this. We're talking about a whole bunch of different things today. We're going to be talking about, in the midst of being in the heartbeat of Jesus, where we have our ear upon the chest of Jesus himself, just like John, who annoyed everybody at the Last Supper. I pray in the name of Jesus, man, that you hear God speak in such a way that it gets on everybody else's nerves. In Jesus' name. I also want to just tell you, I'm also going to talk to you about the truth today. And we're talking about King Jesus is on the move. This is not a time where things are falling back. This is not a time where things are slowing down. This is not a time to play it safe. This is a time to go, 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 go. And there's a small window of opportunity. It's kind of like Simon says. Well, Jesus says, go, 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 go. And that is very much the hour that you and I are living in right now. And then, of course, we also want to throw this out there and say this. You are perfect for the day that you're living in. Esther 4:14 says, you're born. In fact, it says, who knows? In other words, it's probable that, okay, one of the things that I say all the time is I say, I want to believe in, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Now I want to start saying nothing is improbable.
Mm. Wow.
I want to move from impossible into improbable, right? And just go, It's actually not impossible. It's not even improbable. I mean, this is going to happen. Who knows but that you were born for such a time as this. Today, guys, we're going to be breaking down what's happening in the world, and we're also going to be showing you a powerful interview with my good friend, Mr. Eric Steckelback, who I'm campaigning right now to see if we can't get him here at Open Door Church. Eric Steckelback is a bad motor scooter, and I love that brother, and he's out there killing it. In fact, I got a video that I'm going to throw to from the NRB that is going to go there. But first, everybody that's watching all over the planet Earth, I have some special instructions from my good friend. Some say tomato. I say Tamayo. Rebecca Tamayo is here.
That never gets old, Pastor. I love it.
Well, that's what I think.
That is one of our sayings here in house. I love it.
Well, I love you too. And you're a good girl. And you were going to focus on Spotify today.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I know that we just started that, and your podcast will be on Spotify and Apple TV. We're doing intros and outros. We're getting ready for that. Your graphic is amazing. I'm so excited for what's happening.
Brand new audio podcast we're about to launch.
It's going to be amazing.
And it's going to be on Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on Apple.
So be on the lookout.
Yep, right on.
It's just around the corner.
It's a lot easier to listen to me than it is to look at me. Got kind of a Jack Elam thing going on. And so, you know what?
I'm excited to hear the podcast, actually.
Are you?
Just to hear the voice. I need to...
Yeah,
I'm trying to hear your voice right now. How do you sound like just focusing on your voice?
My voice. I'm about to start doing all kinds of other
impressions. Can you start doing funny voices or something?
Yeah, I sure can. I feel like when I talk, I feel like I talk like raw. Mm-hmm. But what it actually sounds like is this. That's what it sounds like. I know. And I'm sorry for that. But I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. I really am trying. And you know what, guys? We're also trying in the whole rescue field. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready. Next week is to be on the 10th. This is going to be episode number 10, right?
Of
the counter. We're going to be dropping that. And we've had over 3,700 people sign up for partnership.
Sir. Amen.
Come on.
I'm so excited. The counter. Episode 9 was amazing. It's just been one level after the other.
You saw the after show last night.
Oh, yeah.
And that was good.
That was, I think it's been one of my favorites. You and Joseph, I love you, Alan. I love everybody. But Joseph.
Oh, no. Listen, when I'm with Joseph, he's definitely my favorite.
Well, I don't know. They're all my favorite.
Alan, then he's my favorite, too.
Can we edit that?
No, you don't got to edit that. That's not,
it was great.
You're not saying anything weird.
It was great.
Look, man, when I do three services on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And my first service, I tell them every Sunday, this is my favorite service. Mm-hmm. And then on second service, I tell them, this is my favorite service. On third service, I tell them, this is my favorite service. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's real. It's legit. My favorite thing is to be with my friends that I love.
Absolutely. It was so good. So if you have not seen it, please go to odx.tv and tune into the after show, because Pastor Troy and Joseph Z share some blurry things, some blurry videos, some blurry pictures. And You missed it. Go to odx.tv. Pastor, we also have people from all over the world. We have Africa. We have Uganda. We have England. We have Michigan, Missouri in the house. Please don't forget to comment. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to do all the fun little ring the bell, like, and reshare, because you don't know on the other side or another different day, someone might need to hear the word
for
today.
We're pushing 230,000 subscriptions.
Yes,
now.
Since the counter.
Just, which is
overall.
Crazy.
So God is on the move.
Yeah. So, hey, subscribe and go, nope, mm-hmm. I need to be a part of this all the time. That's what I need to do. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. You got enough media nonsense Absolutely. In your life. And, man, you need the word of God. You need to be around brave people. Mm-hmm. And you need to be people that say, the kingdom of heaven looks just like that. And speaking of that I want to point to my good friend, Pastor Ryan Warren is here. Hello, sir. How are
good
you?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Great here to you see are everybody. Once again.
Aww. Here I am listening to you talk.
Well, as you
listening
should.
Listening to your voice. We're
listening
start.
To your mouth.
As you should. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry about that. I hope that that's not too painful for you.
No, you got a distinguishing mm-hmm. one, so it's good.
Absolutely.
So everybody needs to know that you're going to be preaching at Open Door tonight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very,
what are you
very excited about it. Yeah. So 2026 has been a big year of exposure, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes whenever Jesus exposes stuff, he's not rejecting us. He is actually calling us deeper. And it would benefit us well to know the difference. That whenever he exposes mm-hmm. things going on in our heart, it's not to reject us, it's to pull us in closer. And we're going to need that for the rest of the year. So I'm excited.
We're going to be doing some of that behind the veil today, too, whenever mm-hmm. we go behind the veil after the Eric Steckelback interview. And, man, you said something just before we started rolling that rocked my world. And can I go ahead and just
absolutely.
Put it out there?
Like, once you agree with it, it's yours.
Yeah, come on, brother. You're such a preacher, man. You know what, man? But you said this, that there are times that Jesus will give you an assignment of failure. So that when you come out of the failure, you bear fruit that you never would have been able to until you experience that.
Okay, Rebecca, see if this sounds familiar to you. Okay, you have a man who has gotten older. He's not a teenager anymore. He's not in his early 20s anymore. And he has a time in his life where he starts preaching to thousands of people. Okay, but before that, he comes face to face with a girl in slavery. And that interaction with a girl who's in slavery changes the course of his life. It's exactly what Peter did. Sound familiar to anybody else? Mm-hmm. Before Peter preached to thousands of people, mm-hmm. the Lord exposed these areas of his heart where he was fearful and he Absolutely. Couldn't live the same way. He was afraid of a girl who was in slavery and called him out. And what did she call out? His denial. Sound familiar?
Wow. Shut
up. In this season, of core values mm-hmm. and the Lord expressing kingdom and salvation. Anytime God has a core value talk with us, he's wanting to get to the core of who we are.
Absolutely.
And that's what he wants more than anything.
So good.
Okay. So we will be getting to that behind the veil. Mm-hmm. But first, we're going to go to Eric Steckelback. And before we do that, Ms. Rebecca, before mm-hmm. we do any of that, I need to tell everybody about the new opportunity we have. Can I do that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, friends, we have a new opportunity. We have been commissioned by people in the state of Texas for us to get some new licensing and to get some new houses because they want to start turning kids that have been rescued over to us. And we're like, okay, well, we have to step up into that. And there are two properties that we're looking at right this second. And one of the properties already has housing on it. And it's already, it's turnkey. It's ready to go. There's a few things we got to fix up and we got to make it ours. But we got to do that. And I just want to tell you, it's $1 million. It's $1 million. Mm-hmm. It's around a dozen acres. It's beautiful. It already has 8 houses on it. And we could start receiving girls with babies and actually babies with babies into that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 12 and 13-year-old girls. And so once we get the licensing for them, we can do that. But it's there, and I need to get this place. And, like, the Lord has need of that place. So Troy Brewer does not need any more land. I don't need mm-hmm. any more ranches. I don't need anything else, me personally. I don't need any of those things. But there are people that are out there that are counting on us, and I've got to get this place. There's a kingdom man that owns this place, and he's been negotiating with me for about 4 months. I've been talking to him about this, but I was like, no, I need it. I know I'm going to need it, but I don't really know why, but I know I'm going to need it. And he and I have not come to an agreement yet. We will come to an agreement. It's about to happen. And then because, boom, last week we had been commissioned to take in all these kids. Now, look, that happens to me in Mexico. The government says, we'll rescue all these kids. We want to turn them over to you. That happens to me in Belize. It happens to me in the Amazon. It happens to me in Uganda. It happens to me in India. It happens to me in Nepal. It happens to me in Nicaragua. It happens to me in Costa Rica. It happens to me all over the world. But it's never happened here in the state of Texas before. It just happened. It just happened. And I've got a yes in my spirit. I know that this is our assignment. This is why God has assembled you and I together. And guys, forsake not the assembly. You know, not the gathering under a roof, but forsake not the assembly. There's some of you that I will never see on this side of whenever we are gathered together in the air to meet Jesus. Wow. Amen. Mm-hmm. But we are assembled right now. You have your peace. I have my feet. I have my peace. We are all fitly joined together as the house of God, which is where the Spirit of the Lord and the sanctuary is. And guys, I need to build this sanctuary place. I have two properties that I'm looking at right now. One of them we can use as a Ford base of operation right here in North Central Texas for my super spook guys to come in. They're the secret guys. They do the super secret stuff. They're going to come in. We'll set it up. Nobody will know where it's at. Nobody will know what it is. Nobody will know that they're there. And we will map out and we will bring in other rescuers to this place. And we'll map out. Let's go after that kid. Let's go after that kid. Amen. Let's go after these situations. Let's go after that. And I need a central location for that. That is one property. Plus, we can also do special events and things out there, and people won't know that we're doing these things. Mm-hmm. So it'd be great. All right. The other thing, the other place, which is not very far from the first place, already has 8 little houses on it. And it already has it. It's already got electricity. It's already got running water. It's already got the awesome septic system. It's in a beautiful and very remote place in North Central Texas. And I need to get that property. I want y'all to pray for me about that.
Amen.
Because I just found out last Tuesday that we're about to have so many kids in North Central Texas that we don't even know what to do with. And that's a good problem to have. That's the goal. Now, look, we know what to do with them, but we never anticipated this happening so fast. And so we don't have the money in the bank. We are fully operational on every other place we are firing. And here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to give, and I'm asking you to help me. Call the number on the screen. Call 877-413-0888. And or you can go to troybrewer.com. Mm-hmm. Go to troybrewer.com and say, I'm giving, and this is what I'm going to do. And I want to speak to say this to two different groups of people. One, a group of people that are like, dude, I just don't have very much. This is all I got. You know what? That's you assembling with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. That's what that is. We're assembled together. And I praise God for that.
Absolutely.
And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I also want to speak to the person who has the capability of helping me buy this thing.
Yep.
I know you're out there. And I don't think that you owe me a single thing because, friend, you don't. And I'm not going to declare all kinds of crazy stuff, and I'm not going to pull on your heartstrings. I'm just telling you, if you could help me with this $1 million, I will buy that place.
Amen.
And we will put kids there, and we will take care of them. And they don't have any other place to go. There's not one single person in the state of Texas that has this license that I'm about to get. And, guys, we got to do this. And, again, the licensing is for minors who are pregnant.
Wow.
It's a special licensing that comes from the Department of Homeland Security. And I'm actually friends with the Department of Homeland Security. I just got through doing a huge event with them in Mexico City where I spoke to 1 billion people at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
And at that event has over 1 billion people actually looking at it. And so we put our boots on the ground, and we did what we could do. And I spoke for 45 minutes about fighting trafficking and how that we are the ones who have to do it. So call the number on the screen and say, you know what? I got this money to give. I trust Jesus, and I trust those yahoos up there. They have a 30-year history of doing what they say they will do. Guys, this is our 30th year of rescuing kids.
Man,
yeah. And let's do this. We've rescued over 12,000 children. There's so many more. We have over 6,000 children under our care. Mm-hmm. We rescued 908 kids last year. Come on, guys, let's do this. Let's do this for the kids that are in North Central Texas. We got to do this. Call the number on the screen, 877-413-0888.
So good.
I feel it. I know that you're out there. I know you are. It's going to happen.
Come on. I just love how God has given you the blueprint, and together we can come together and make a difference. And I love what 2 Corinthians says in 9:7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. And I'm not skipping this, but it says, for God loves our cheerful giver. So I just want to encourage everybody watching. Pastor Troy and Pastor Leanna have literally, I've known you for 10 years, Pastor, and I could testify that everything that you say you're going to do, you do it. Yep. And you stay empty-handed. So as right now, as you're like, you know, this is what I have, God sees what you have. He will multiply with what you give, and he loves that you're going to give. It says God loves a cheerful giver. So I believe right now that Jesus is going to multiply what you give, and the faith that you have right now will increase in Jesus' name. So he's given us the blueprint. So now it's time for us to act. We have a plan. So now it takes faith to step into that. So you prayed over faith increase this past weekend, and I believe that God is increasing our faiths and our capacity, and our baskets are over. I just see baskets of fruits, and you're going to be able to give to others.
Pastor Ryan, what do you have to say to that?
No, it all makes sense. Mm-hmm. It all makes sense. You know, I look back at how things have grown and progressed over the past few mm-hmm. years. And if you look back and you remember all those things that God's shown us that's led up to this, I mean, the kingdom math doesn't make sense all the time, but man, his hand is on it.
Absolutely.
And it's a powerful thing. So, I always wonder, like in those early days for you, like if you even had a glimpse of what it was going to be now. And I'm sure you just look around and you're just like, man, I don't know if it feels like multiple lifetimes ago, but somebody can step into this. If you're wanting to get involved in this, like imagine what God can do in your life. And I always remind people, PT, like y'all are not too late to get involved in this. Absolutely. This is not like you hear how many years this has been happening. And you're like, you did not miss the boat. Get involved and assemble and be a part of it, and mm-hmm. and bring what the Lord has given you, bring it into this ministry and partner in a big way.
God's got this cool way of when you show up and when you join, it's as if you've always been a part of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, when I entered into the body of Jesus, I entered into the same body that Peter and Paul are in.
That's amazing.
I entered into the same body mm-hmm. that the early church fathers are a part of. And so guys, enter into this thing, call the number on the screen and let it, if you can joyfully give today, then give. And if you can't, I'm believing God for mm-hmm. time that you'll be able to.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so we always remind them, be a person of prayer. We have to pray. We absolutely, absolutely have to pray. So get involved. The prayer number's on there. You can ask if you're like, hey, I want to pray for some specific stuff. They can share that with you. And as y'all have praise reports, please, we talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. We want to hear your prayer requests. But if you have a praise report, some breakthrough, share that stuff with us too. Well, I don't feel like we hear enough of that. We'd love to hear y'all's praise reports too.
So good. All right, guys, we're going to go now to the interview with Brother Eric Steckelback. And we were at the NRB in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were there, and that conference was so good. And we dive into what's happening in the kingdom and how God is moving right now. Let's check it out. Watch this. Well, my goodness, welcome back, guys, here at the NRB in big time Nashville, Tennessee. I call you blessed. I am with a very good friend of mine that I love this guy. I mean, I truly love him as a brother. He's done some traveling with me. He's been to Mexico with me. He's been gracious enough to have me on his platform so many different times. It's such a great privilege for the first time to have him on mine, Eric Steckelback.
Pastor Troy, great to be with you. We need to have you back, by the way. We always love having you on Steckelback tonight.
Thank you, brother. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Glad to be back.
Well, it's just an honor just to be with you, man, because you know, I love you. You know, I love your ministry. Yeah. I love your show. You love us.
Yes. And, very much.
Man, you do. And I'm just grateful. You actually went with us down to Mexico one time. A lot of people don't know that.
Man, Pastor Troy, what an eye opener. To see what you're doing, your ministry's doing there. The stories, I still think about it, the reclamation stories, I would call it, and how you've literally saved children in Mexico and around the world. But in Mexico, the trip I was on, out of slavery. This is modern-day sex slavery, horrific stuff, and you've given them another chance in Jesus. Amazing, amazing stories. I can't begin to say how impressed I was by what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, man, I get a front row seat for the goodness of the Lord all the time. Dude. You know, people ask me, Eric, they'll say, how do you deal with all these bad stories? And I do know bad stories. I do.
Yeah.
But, man, I know the goodness of the Lord in it.
No doubt.
You know, I see him transformed. I see him changed. And, and I live for it. It's just beautiful. Yeah. But I don't want to talk about my ministry. I want to talk about yours. Man, dude, so you just got through with the Super Bowl. I was in Uganda stomping around out there. And so I missed it. But you actually did the alternative for the halftime show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Turning Point All-American Halftime Show. We carried it on TBN. And I hosted it live, Pastor Troy. It was a lot of fun. I'm a football fan. It was a lot of fun. So we did a pre-show and a post-show, but the middle of the show, the actual halftime show, is what counted. And basically what Turning Point did, it's the organization founded by Charlie Kirk. They had an alternative programming, basically a concert.
So smart.
It was, with patriotic, pro-family programming and music. And the contrast to what the NFL was putting on, Bad Bunny, it was a profane. He had men grinding on each other and twerking, all that garbage.
Oh, yeah.
The lyrics were delivered exclusively in Spanish, but if you looked at the English translation, they were vulgar.
Profane and vulgar.
Of course. And the NFL promoted that to their shame. But Turning Point said, you know what? Over the past several years, we've had this mess of a halftime show. Everyone's tuning in at halftime the Super Bowl. Let's have an alternative, more focused on faith, family, and freedom, what made America great in the first place. They put on this great concert, this great show, and Pastor Troy, it smashed records. I mean, people turned the channel at halftime, came over to TBN. We had 4.5 million people watching live. And that was just TBN. It was carried on a bunch of different platforms, YouTube and elsewhere. I think altogether the numbers were 40 million people were watching this Turning Point halftime show. And up against the behemoth that is the NFL, but people are fed up with the woke madness. They turn the channel. And I really think Turning Point should do this annually. And I hope the NFL got the memo. They probably didn't, but there is certainly an alternative out there. And it showed where the American people stand. There's such a divide in the nation, but people more and more are saying, we don't need this nonsense. We have alternatives, godly alternatives.
So when did you find out that you were the guy that was going to host that?
Man, about a week before.
Really?
And it's funny. I went into it. I was busy with other things. I'm following Israel and Iran and the U.S. and everything happening there, which I know we'll talk about. But they said, hey, we want you to host this halftime show. I said, great. And then the day arrived. I said, man, this is a big deal. And, man, I'm getting so much feedback during the game. I'm watching you live. People all over the place were tuning into TBN to watch this halftime show. But it was fun. I kind of went, I like to prep.
Yeah, so how do you prep for that?
In this instance, in a sense, you really couldn't. You know, it's a concert and everything. But you need to know about the performers. Yeah. And what I tried to do, Pastor Troy, I'm a football fan, try to have faith stories, incredible testimonies from the players. The Seahawks, the Patriots, a lot of great faith stories there.
Come on.
The Seahawks have large Bible study.
Yeah.
Drake May, the Patriots quarterback, strong believer, glorifies the Lord in all his interviews. And then the artists, some of the performers, what's their faith story? So that was really cool, where the viewer got to know the players, got to know the performers from a faith perspective. Where, look, these people are all in on Jesus. So that was cool. That was the kind of prep I did for that. A little bit of color commentary in there, too, about the game. But it was a lot of fun. And it was highly effective.
Okay, I'm just going to say this to you on behalf of everybody at the ODX family. On behalf of, just thanks, man. We needed that. We needed that, man.
The body of Jesus needs it, man.
America needs it.
For sure.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, man, it is my honor and my pleasure, no doubt. We're going to keep it going because, look, Western civilization, Judeo-Christian civilization hangs in the balance. Pastor Troy, I do not exaggerate. What we're facing right now, I mean, we've got this, I've called it an unholy alliance between the left and Islam.
Yep.
And it's unfolding.
Yes.
And if you look across the pond at Europe, they're in dire straits. And to me, the United States right now, that's why these cultural battles are so important. The United States, to me right now, is the last line of defense for Western civilization. If the lights go out here, the lights go out on the West. I don't exaggerate.
Yeah, man. And right here in the great free state of Texas, there's a new assault that has come against Texas. Oh, yeah. And again, the Muslims are counting upon the craziness of the left to partner with them. And in the first stage of the first thing that they do, they come in, they take over. And we're going to call that a Thursday. And then they declare that, you know, Friday is their holy day, right? So they declare, okay, we're here. There's nothing you can do about it. On Saturday, which the Jews are the Saturday, they attack the Jews. And you can see that going on all across the nation right now. And the left are joining them in that, the whole Palestine thing. But then after they get done with the Jews, then they attack the Sunday people. They come after the Christians and they wipe them out. And then they go after the Monday atheists. Then they go after the LGB. Then they go after then they go after the left, and then they wipe them out. And they are completely dependent upon the ignorance of the left upon believing all that.
So true. Pastor Troy, so well said. You broke it down beautifully there. And the left is unleashing, in partnering with Islam, the left is unleashing forces it does not understand. Dark forces that are playing for keeps. They think they can use Islam as a battering ram against Judeo-Christian biblical civilization. Yes. But cautionary tale, 1979, the socialists, the communists, the Marxists, they backed the Ayatollah in Iran. They were all in.
So true.
6 months after he came to power, he had them all rounded up, executed, or locked up. And look, the Islamists here, if they ever, God forbid, got any sliver of power, they will turn on the left with a vengeance. Look, queers for Palestine?
Yeah.
That won't exist in Gaza or in an Islamic state.
They don't,
Sharia.
They don't turn up on the leftists until after they deal with the Jews and the Christians.
Yes.
And then they turn on the leftists.
The leftists are the useful,
idiots. The useful idiots is what they call them.
You laid out this sequence exactly right. Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Okay. Well, in the midst of everything that's taken place, at the beginning of the year, when Venezuela, this incredible operation that took place, one of the greatest military things we've ever seen within our lifetime, it took place. I was able to announce upon the following Sunday that we had been covertly doing a work in Venezuela for about 15 years. I've never been able to say it publicly. And man, we have so many friends down there. We rescue so many people. We take care of so many pastors. We take care of so many doctors and lawyers who have been displaced, but we've never been able to say anything about it. Okay, we're still in the midst of that. And at the same time, it highly encouraged the people in Iran because the Ayatollah will literally get the Venezuelan military to come over and to beat up everybody and to do all kinds of things. And so they all got, so everybody in Iran, the Persian church rose up, the freedom loving people who do not, want to submit to the Islamic regime. They stood up. This incredible thing started happening. Here's what I see.
Yeah.
Number one, we're not done yet.
No.
We're not done. And number two, 47 years, I'm just going to speak prophetically now. This mess has been going on whenever the Ayatollah took over and whenever the Shah was kicked out. Thank you, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden have done more to destroy freedom in America and throughout the world than anybody else. Okay, now that I've said that, thank you.
Well said.
Thank you. And so 47 years later, we have this uprising. And we also have the 47th president of the United States. And I see a collision. I see a prophetic collision where the two of them have to meet. And I want to tell you who's going to win that if those two meet this year.
Yeah,
it's going to be the United States of America. And what I'm hoping and believing is that we will indeed stand with the freedom fighters of Iran.
It's got to happen. I mean, this regime, the world's number one state sponsor of terrorism, teetering on the brink. Pastor Troy, look, we could give them the push to send them into the ash heap of history where they belong. I don't think it's a coincidence. We have this massive U.S. military buildup at Iran's doorstep right now. President Trump, I think he's saying, look, we'll negotiate. We want a deal. But it's a smokescreen. It's mixed messaging. It's psychological warfare. He did this back in June prior to the destruction of Iran's nuclear facilities, Operation Midnight Hammer. He knows what he's doing. The art of the deal in international policy. So he knows what he's doing. I find it highly unlikely that he won't strike Iran. Israel, the question to me, Pastor Troy, are does Israel come alongside the United States, number one? Number two, how does Iran respond? Because they're theological jihadist zealots. They'll try to go out with a blaze of glory and fire missiles at Israel and U.S. forces in the region. And number three, what comes next after the Ayatollah? Reza Pahlavi is a guy who's been discussed. He's the son of the Shah, based in the D.C. area. Does he have the street cred among the people of Iran? Anything's better than the current regime. That's what I know. I think the Iranian people would welcome anyone at this point other than this demonic death cult that's ruling over them with a tyrannical jackboot. But I think it's coming, the fall of the regime. And that's a prophetic watershed moment, I think, Pastor Troy. And you mentioned the Iranian church. It's the fastest growing church in the world. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Modern day Iran, that was ancient Persia. That's a Bible land.
That's right.
Esther, Mordecai, Cyrus, Darius, Ezra, Nehemiah. That was in Iran.
Come on, brother.
Right. And God is moving there. He's not done with that nation. I love the Iranian people, the Persian people, who are the main victims of this wicked regime.
Me too.
And I really think if this regime is out the window, out the door, you could see revival spread in Iran. Iran could be a launch pad for revival throughout the Muslim world.
Absolutely.
That's my prayer. I really think you can't stop the gospel. The Ayatollahs cannot stop the gospel.
I think one of the things that people don't consider whenever people think, "What if President Trump's going to act, why hasn't he already acted?"
Yeah.
Is listen, he's a winner, and he makes sure he can win before he does any kind of warfare.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to win a little bit. He likes to win big, 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 big,
oh,
big.
Yeah. And he'll tell you about it afterwards.
That's exactly right.
God bless him.
And he'll say, we're the greatest army in the world. There's nobody better.
That's right.
And we use some. It's just like in Venezuela. They actually unleashed. They unleashed hell upon Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
And they did such a. It was such a strategic strike, and it happened so quickly. And they also made public a lot of technology that they had not made public before.
Yes.
And they'll do the same thing with this. And so he's making sure that he's got every duck in a row and making sure that it is a win, because that's the way that Donald Trump
operates. That's a key point that you make. I think he may have got ahead of himself a little bit with the tweet, help is on the way.
Yeah.
Okay, that was over a month ago now. But his team, which is incredible around him, said, Mr. President, we're with you. We're going to do this. But we got to get the assets in place. And you and I were talking a minute ago about this armada that's heading to Iran right now. This the biggest buildup, I think, since 2003, the Iraq War, biggest U.S. military buildup. Number two, and this is a key point, the missile defense. Iran still has that ballistic missile stockpile.
Yes.
God forbid, but they're probably going to fire them. If they're if they think the regime's in jeopardy, they'll try to go out again in a blaze of glory. So they're getting missile defenses in place, getting the plans in place. Because, Pastor Troy, I don't think this is just going to be a small-time surgical strike. We sent a message, and that's it.
Yeah.
I think, as you said, President Trump's going big, and he has a bigger idea in mind. Remember, we know only Jesus, Yeshua, will bring peace ultimately to the Middle East and the world. In the meantime, President Trump wants to establish some semblance of peace in the Middle East.
Yes.
Tough job, but that's his goal, he and his team's goal. And you can't have that with the Iranian regime still in power. It's impossible.
Yeah,
and their proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah.
That's right.
That Iranian axis has to be crushed decisively for President Trump to realize his goals of a peaceful Middle East. It's not going to last. We know biblically, of course.
Yes.
But in the short term, we could indeed see that if the Iranian regime falls.
In Venezuela, he was able to keep, you know, the vice president is now president in Venezuela.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, it basically worked like this. All right, we're moving in. You guys are going to work with us now. You need to be in agreement on that. We'll figure out how all this works. But our main interest is we want the oil. And then after we also want the drugs to stop. And we're going to do this and we're going to work together. He's not going to be able to do that with Iran.
No.
He can't do that.
Yeah,
they have to be completely taken out.
Yeah.
So it is different.
It is. There's not... You know, Pastor Troy, we think back to the Cold War of the Soviets. We had mad, mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
They didn't want to die. We didn't want to die. We didn't nuke each other.
Yeah.
With the Iranian regime, you don't have that.
That's right.
This is an apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Their eschatology is apocalyptic from an Islamic end times theology. And they will shape policy around that theology. And that theology is. And look, the first rule of war, Sun Tzu, know your enemy.
Yeah.
You got to know their ideology, know what we're up against.
Yeah.
What is that ideology? They truly believe that the Islamic Messiah, they call him the Mahdi, or the 12th Imam, the hidden Imam. It sounds crazy, but it's all true. They really believe this. This Imam is going to emerge from centuries of hiding in the last days, and he's going to lead the armies of Islam to victory. They're going to slaughter all the Jews, all the Christians. Iran will be the tip of the spear of his armies, and Jesus will actually be alongside the Mahdi. So Jesus will be the wingman of the Mahdi. And Jesus, a Jew who we worship as Christians, will help kill all the Jews and Christians. They truly believe this.
Yep.
And they are diehard believers in this. And that's why you can't strike a deal with people like this. You know, with the Soviets, Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. With the Ayatollahs, it's don't trust but verify.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year.
It
when 47th president meets the 47 years of terror.
Isn't that
and
something?
I'm just, I see
it's
it.
It's prophetic.
It is prophetic.
It is.
Okay. So how do people follow you?
Yeah.
What's next on your plate? Yeah. And what should people be looking for?
Well, Pastor Troy, thanks for asking. A few things. Stackelbeck tonight, every weeknight on TBN, 7:30 p.m. Eastern and 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, a rear every night. The YouTube channel, we're talking Israel, Iran. The YouTube channel is mainly Middle East, Israel focused. How it impacts all of us, and from a biblical perspective, that's WatchmanTV.com, M-A-N, WatchmanTV.com.
Love it.
So the nightly show, the YouTube channel, podcast, and speaking around the country, may have a book project in the works, so keep him very busy. The Lord's got me busy because time is short.
Time is short, buddy, and there has to be a real sense of urgency that all of us have.
Yes.
Eric Stickleback, it is a great. I cannot believe I'm actually interviewing you. I was nervous about it.
No, come on, man.
I mean, I know we're
old buddies,
and I know that, but I'm like, man, can you imagine me interviewing Eric Stickleback?
Oh my gosh,
how
man,
did I do? Me. How did I do?
You did great, man. It was like two old friends talking around the fire in Fort Worth.
Guys, Eric Stickleback, and I bless you, my friend.
You too, my friend. Love you, Pastor.
I love you, and I praise God for you. I watch everything that you do, man.
You.
And we're all rooting for you. We're all cheering you on, man. We've needed you in the body of Jesus, man. We've needed this.
Thank you.
So thank you.
You too, my friend.
Well, guys, I am going to throw to episode 6 of The Counter, where we were actually talking about trafficking the blood of children, and bell worship. Yeah, it's no joke. Listen, guys, we've been dealing with this now for 30 years. What used to be a conspiracy theory is now front page news. Guys, watch this.
Whenever you're actually rescuing kids, you're not just rescuing them from just the sexuality of somebody else. You're rescuing them from something that is much, much worse than that.
We know that biblically there are geographical locations that there are demonic forces that reign.
Yep.
Take that into the internet age. And there is a demonic, probably multiple, entities and forces that are reigning over this industry, and they're literally manifesting that people are watching.
And here's what the Bible says. It says that the compromised will run when no one's even chasing them. But it says the righteous are as bold as lions.
We are going to turn the tide on this thing.
Come on.
And as we turn the tide, it is the spirit of Elijah, because darkness has sown and sown and sown, and it is about to reap a reformation spirit of Elijah that's going to come and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers.
That's my good friend, Brother Eric Stackelback, coming at you strong. Man, see, guys, we did all these really cool interviews. Eric was one of them. And you can find all of those NRB interviews at odx.tv. Like, I need to see all those. Yeah, dude, you do. And I think that they're not just for stage 2 or stage 3. Yep. You can even be stage 1.
Correct.
And go and see all the interviews. Mm-hmm. And, guys, we had some really good ones. Yeah. I appreciate my good friend, Eric Stickleback. Guys, please remember to be in prayer for him. I love that brother so much. He's traveled with me. He went down to some of our rescue homes. I watched him cry like a little girl. Eric, I did too. I was bawling too, but he's got a beautiful heart, and I love that guy. All right. I am back here in the studio with my good friends here, and the usual suspects are here with me right now. Pastor Ryan, you said something to me, and we're about to go behind the veil here in just a minute, and then you're going to deliver this. You're going to talk whatever you want to, and it doesn't matter if you even preach the same thing tonight. I mean, because that's going to be behind the veil.
Great.
But you said something here just a second, and I want to, before you tell everybody what you just told me, because it's so stinking powerful, man. It really choked me up. It choked me up. Okay. When I was 17 years old, gosh, dadgummit. When I was 17 years old, when I was 15, I went to go live with my dad, and me and dad shared a bed. Dad's wife kicked us out, and we left, and it's okay. He got back with her and got reconciled and everything. All they had to do was get me out of the house. That's funny how that works. Sorry, guys. I was young. That was quite the handful as well. This crazy thing happened. Now, I was lost, but I was going to a little Christian school. And at the little Christian school that I went to, it was a little fundamentalist Baptist school. And that was the school that daddy got me in because dad was so worried about me. I was so out of my tree. And these guys had a lot of discipline. I mean, there was a lot of, but they were so good to me. They were First Baptists of Haltom City. They were so good to me. And I want to just tell you, they weren't famous for being good to people. They're basically Amish, you know. And the girls had to wear kulaks, and you didn't smoke, you didn't chew, you didn't go with girls that did, and all this kind of stuff. And so, I was wild. I was wild as a March hare. Okay, I was playing in these bands. I was in a bar every single night of the week, okay? And because I played in daddy's bands. Daddy didn't drink. Daddy didn't smoke. Daddy didn't cuss. Daddy was a righteous dude, but it was his job was to play in bars. And he wanted me close to him, and I was a musician. And so I played with him every single night somewhere. Well, I had my own side gigs of my own bands. And one of the gigs that I had was in Rendon, Texas. And it was just me. I'd go down there and I would play my guitar. And it was, I don't even remember what night of the week it was. I think it was on Thursday nights because we never had gigs on Thursday night. Thursdays was like our day off. And this place had, it had drugs. It had prostitution. Some really bad things went on in this place. It had gambling. It had, but it was like had a lot of prostitution that went on in this place. And I was friends with all the girls that worked in this prostitution ring, not having any idea that I was someday going to come and that would be my whole life would be destroying those things. And I was good friends with this one girl, and she was a little bit older than me, and I felt sorry for her. I knew that she didn't want to live that life. And again, before I was already felt the calling before I even knew what the calling was. And I would just tell her, you know, man, you're smarter than this, man. You ain't got to do this. She goes, and she'd say, I'm not smarter. I have to do that. I'm like, yeah, you can get out of this. You know, you got to get out of this stuff.
Wow.
And I'd be having those conversations with her all the time. Well, but in wild ways, I participated in all that. I was literally playing my guitar in a cat house on Thursday nights in Rendon, Texas, and entertaining everybody. I did not frequent the frequent the prostitutes. I didn't sell drugs, but there was drugs being sold. But I was the guy providing the entertainment in this place, and I was just watching it all, just going, "This stuff is it was funny at first, and after a while, it wasn't funny anymore. It wasn't funny." And I was like, "This is dark stuff, and like this is bad, and like I can't do it." So I'm sitting there. And I thought, I'm fixing to get thrown out of this place. I want to make these guys mad, and I'm going to get thrown out where I'm not welcome here anymore. I need to close the door on this place. Again, before I was saved, I was still, man, I had the Spirit of the Lord was with me, and I was like, I'm not living this kind of a life. This is not what I'm going to do. And so I just went, okay. So it was getting close to 2:00 in the morning, and I said, guys, man, I got to get out of here, and I got to go. And they're like, why? Why don't you stay later than 2 on Thursdays, which is now Friday? I said, because I got to go to school in the morning. And they're like, you're still in high school? And I went, yeah, I'm in high school. I'm a junior in high school. And they're like, how old are you? And I'm like, I'm 17. They're like, you're 17 years old? Like, yeah, like we thought you were in your mid-20s. I went, no. And they're like, where do you go to school at? And I said, I go to a little Christian school in Fort Worth. And they're like, you go to a Christian school in Fort Worth? And I said, yes, I do. There's a point to this that has to do with this other thing, okay?
Great.
And I said, yes, I do. And they said, well, you don't believe any of that junk, do you? Okay, in chapel class that day, or actually the day before on Wednesday, we had chapel. And the scripture we talked about was Jesus said, you better not deny me before men. Okay? And it got to me, and I thought, I just found a way to get into the kingdom because I'll just never deny it. I'm in. Nobody, like, I don't care what anybody thinks. Easy peasy. So that night, this thing is being tested 24 hours later, and I was already kind of picking a fight with them, and I honestly thought I might need to get beat up to get out of this place and never come back. But I was like, I'm ending this thing tonight. And they said, you don't believe in any of that crap, do you? And I said, yes, I do. Mind you, I'm playing guitar in a cat house where they gamble and sell dope. And I went, yeah, I believe all that. And they all started making fun of me, as you can imagine. And so I started bowing up and went, you know what? I don't make fun of how stupid you are. Why you make fun of me? You know, I started bowing up and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, we can't believe you're still a kid and you go to a Christian school. We cannot believe that. I'm like, well, believe it. And I just started going off and all that. And they're like, all right, you need to go. And then somebody, I started arguing with them and whatnot. I'm going to say this, that as I was leaving, there was this girl that I liked. And when I say I liked her, I mean, I felt a kindred spirit with her. I felt like she was in a situation that was beyond her control. Her family ran the place. I felt like I was in a situation I couldn't control, and I figured she was going to figure it out someday. And I told her, I said, why don't you leave with me? Why don't you leave with me? And she said she couldn't. I left there, and I'm going to tell you, that place burned to the ground about in the same year, 3 or 4 months later, and that young girl burned to death in the fire.
Oh.
And if I would have known how to reach her for Jesus, I would have reached her. And I didn't know how to reach her for Jesus. But that night, I went home. It's now approaching 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was going to say my bedtime prayers. And I said, Lord, this is old Troy Brewer talking to you from Fort Worth, Texas. And I didn't know him. I knew he was there. I just didn't know where he was. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, I said, God, I said, you know, I heard the scripture this week that Jesus, where you said, I can't never deny you. I'm not going to deny you. I won't ever deny you. I know I'm bad. I know I'm not living a life. I know I'm not a Christian. I know I don't go to church. I know those things, okay? Mm-hmm. I know that. But I also know I have never denied you, and you will never be able to say that I denied you ever, ever, ever. Guarantee it. And I heard the audible voice of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I think it is the only time in my life I've ever heard Jesus speak, but I couldn't hear him spiritually. I was dead. And I give you my word as a man of God, I heard Jesus. As soon as I heard him, I knew who he was.
Wow.
And he said, Troy. He called me by name, so he knew me too. I know all these things now because I've been a pastor for 30 years, but I didn't know any of this. I was shocked. He said, Troy. And I couldn't tell if his voice came from inside of me or outside of me or in front of me or behind me or above me or below me. Just his voice came to me. And I went, yes, Lord. And he said, every time you sin, you deny me.
Wow. Yeah.
And I just covered up, and I didn't know what to say about that. Wow. Well, I was 17 then, and I'm 59 now, and I know Jesus, and I'm saved now. But I even knew the voice of the Lord before I was even saved. I knew his voice. Mm. What did you tell me right before we got on here about denying?
Yeah, that denial and betrayal are not the same thing. They are two different conversations. They are two different routes, two different relationships. And Jesus is more than capable and smart enough to know the difference. And he really, really wants us to know the difference going forward so that we don't misinterpret what's happening. Because many people think that their denial in one area is betrayal, and it's not the same conversation. And the rest of this year, it's very, very important that we know the difference. Not just our relationship with Jesus, that's important. Can you imagine what the static that would build up between us and him if we think we're living a life of betrayal, and all it is him exposing these parts of our hearts that haven't, their mind hasn't been made up yet. So Peter thought that he was better, in a better place than he was. He thought he was stronger than he actually was. He thought he was more connected than he actually was. And Jesus gave him the assignment to deny him.
Jesus gave.
I'm proposing Peter that what I read
to deny him.
Jesus said, "You will." That is a command.
Yeah,
you will deny. It was not predictive. It was him addressing, saying, "Peter, I want everything in that."
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of another verse too, where he told Jesus, "Hey, man, you're going to freak out and fall out, but when you are restored, strengthen the brethren."
Amen. Jackpot. There's a spot in Luke where Jesus tells the disciples, he said, hey, Satan's actually come to me and he wants to sift y'all out. But don't worry, I've prayed for you already.
Yeah.
He knew that time was going to be coming. He knew as much that the enemy would love for Peter to misinterpret the denial as betrayal. And that's not what Peter did. Peter did not betray him.
He did not. He just couldn't hang in the situation he was in. he was assigned literally to a situation he could not hang in, and Jesus knew that.
And there's so many people who want to show up for the... Go ahead, sorry.
No, yeah. I have nothing else to say.
I'm saying there's so many people that want to experience those moments of power and of breakthrough, but before you can stand before thousands of people and declare the gospel, those parts of our hearts that still have those, we think we're better than we are, we think we see clearer than we do... John chapter 9 is full of this man who was blind. And that's where we get the phrase where he said, I was blind, but now I see. Religious activity is never going to equal your spiritual vision, ever.
Absolutely. Judas betrayed him and Peter denied him. And those are two different things. And Jesus deals with you differently. The denial is the failure to be able to hang in a situation that you don't know
and
how
to
handle.
And he wants us to hang.
And he does want us to hang. He does. And so he's going to have to literally show us the places where we can't hang. Because right after that, Jesus is in front of 5,000 people. And he's preaching the gospel openly. And he could hang then. But he didn't know. Dude, that's so powerful. So that's what you're going to talk about tonight at Open Door Church. And also that's what you're going to talk about behind the veil.
Amen. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, I'm excited. Everybody, and I'd love for you to come out and join us tonight. We're going to have a really cool activation there at the end where we can be honest and acknowledge those places. And I think it'll be a really powerful evening of people saying, you know, this entire time, I've thought that I was betraying the Lord in this matter when really it was him drawing me closer. I always thought that Jesus was trying to keep me at a distance. What he was actually doing was bringing me in closer.
Good.
Okay. All right, Rebecca, why don't you go ahead and take us out? Okay. And by the way, I want to tell you, we're going to be announcing this now. I'll go ahead and announce it right now. Mm-hmm. Leanna, I want to go ahead and let Leanna have the pulpit on Sunday.
It's going to be That'd be awesome.
Leanna's got something to bring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I always get up and tell terrible stories about her, and so I'm praying that she won't. I'm praying that she'll have more class than what I do.
I think you covered that with your 17-year-old story earlier.
I think, yeah.
Exactly right. No, nobody's got nothing on me, man. I'll tell all my own stuff. But dude, I honestly don't even hate that I did that. I hate that I was lost. But, I think I save people out of brothels now and have. And I grew a heart for that, playing in one. Literally playing my guitar.
Oh, Jesus set you up.
And going, these girls are, they would be good girls if they had a good environment to live in. And I mean, I was ungodly. And I was a boy. And I didn't know Jesus. And I still thought, these girls would be good girls if they, I went to that little Christian school and I was around really good girls all day long. And I'd be sitting up there playing my guitar. And you know, I'd see the bar and people are dancing and I'd be watching the girls that they're dancing with. And I'd be sitting there going, I can see that girl in my school. And I would just be sitting there playing my guitar going, this is terrible. This is not funny. This is not funny. This is not cute. And that was before I even knew the Lord. And then Jesus spoke to me in an audible voice and told me every time I sin, I denied him.
Briefly, I would propose, if anybody's wondering what that is, whenever you have an apostolic anointing, I would propose that it probably began in that moment, in those nights, because the apostleship, those assignments are always super specific. And there's always a specific place, a specific people group. There's something so specific to apostolic assignment. So I would propose that it probably began whenever you started looking around. Jesus set you up. He set you up.
It's good.
And then, man, that place burned down. And then that girl, I have thought about her so much, man, through the years. I've thought about her and thought about her. You know, she would be in her mid-60s now. And think, I thought about her so much. I've kind of carried her with me everywhere I've been. And went, I actually offered to rescue her. I had nothing to offer. But I was like, why don't you just leave with me? Let's both get out of here.
Sometimes the best thing we can do to honor people who aren't with us is to keep living. Sometimes that's the best way that we can honor their lives, what they meant to us. So look at the way you've kept living.
Come on. Yeah. Well, guys, I want to encourage you guys to watch me this coming Friday night on Flashpoint. I'm going to be on Flashpoint, me and Joseph Z, and I don't know who else. I would imagine Alan is going to be there. Usually when they invite me and Joseph to be on there, he also invites Alan on there.
Yep, we'll share the link. We will remind everybody, and we'll remind everybody about your Flashpoint on Friday. It's going to be amazing.
Okay. Well, all right. Let you take us out, Ladybug.
Yeah, we're excited. So if you just tuned in, we are about to transition to Behind the Veil. If you don't know what Behind the Veil is, it is like our own Netflix here in-house where we will not get censored. And you're not going to want to miss this. Pastor Ryan is bringing a bold, risky word that will shake you up. And Pastor Troy and Pastor Ryan just spoke about it, and you're not going to want to miss it. I want to double dog dare you. I need to say that right. I'm going to have to recite that over and over. It's not in my language, but it's going to be part of my language. Double dog dare you to sign up at Stage 2, Stage 3, and also step it up in faith and become a lifetime partner. And this is how we could be the voice to the voiceless. And this is how we can rescue more and more children. Not only rescue them, but we could set them up. We house them, we send them to college, and we take care of them for a lifetime. So I want to encourage you to go Behind the Veil, become a Stage 3 or a lifetime partner. You're not going to want to miss this conversation about what God is doing and the difference between denial and betrayal. Watch this video. We'll see you in a second.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem. It's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.